Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, you know, over the weekend, I received a call. A friend of mine told me, hey, I have a favor. I've got this this family member. He and his family need out of their house this weekend because of rats.
Oh, I thought you were going to say witness relocation program.
No, no, no. This was similar in some ways. But no, this was a situation where they're renting a house, and then they realized that there was a serious rat problem, like a bad rat problem, enough to flee. Because there's so many, I mean, rats are gross. Rats are disease carriers. We have all these additional images of them, say, crawling into cradles and eating babies at night, and you know, or firing up the oven and attempting to cook things and causing house fires. These are common fears.
Yeah, or lassoing you with their long, long tails.
Yes,
that's
long,
my
long
fear.
Tails.
Yeah,
and in the midst of this, there was talk of, like, oh, the city's going to come and demolish the house. Like, it's that bad.
Wow.
The house is going to be destroyed and possibly burned, which a controlled burn, which sounded crazy to me, because it seems like if you burn a house full of rats, you're just going to send flaming rats out into the surrounding neighborhoods.
Now, I have to ask, were they keeping, like, cuts of meat in the basement?
Or, no.
You know, just hanging on hooks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there was, like, a cave underneath the house that went to some secret rat underworld. But I had in my mind the image of, like, if we were to pry up the floorboards, would we see there in the darkness this site, like right out of a German woodcut from the Middle Ages? Would we see a rat king?
Oh, ho, ho, with all its little rats tangled up in its tail.
Yeah, a cluster, kind of like a, what are those cookies where they're like clusters?
Goo goo clusters?
Yeah, like a goo goo cluster of rats.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting.
Because somewhere there exists a goo goo cluster of rats that's an edible, like, street food.
Maybe.
I can guarantee you.
I mean, rats may be good eating. That's a whole other issue entirely. And who knows? Rat kings may be good eating. But the idea of the rat king I find so fascinating, and most people do, because A, it's grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
It's just purely grotesque. And B, it's kind of a fictional, fantastic exaggeration of humanity's long history with the rat. Because as we've spread across the globe, onto nearly every continent. I mean, well, we've spread to every continent, though obviously at least one of those continents is more of a just a foothold than anything. But the rats have always come with us. They've come with us on our ships. We've built cities and they've moved in next to us. They, you know, anywhere we go, we're taking them with us, and we're always waging wars with the rat to keep it from invading our space and living off the fat of our land.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, before we actually get to rat kings and how horrific they are or maybe aren't, mm-hmm. we'll get to that. To your point about infestation and how we've tried to keep them at bay, in 1780, a Japanese boat infested with sewer rats shipwrecked off the Alaskan coast. And rats killed off masses of resident seabirds, and the island became known as Rat Island. In 2008, think about them festering for this long, right? 1780 to 2008, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service coated the island with poisoned grain. Because they were trying to get rid of them. I mean, I'm not quite sure what the issue was there. Were they like paddling over in their boats to Alaska and, you know, scaring the townsfolk? But unfortunately, when they did that, they took down not only the rat, but they also harmed all the other wildlife species. I mean, obviously, that's a good example of why rats haven't been eradicated completely, right?
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to ferret them out without ruining the entire environment.
Yeah, they can eat just about anything. They breed incredibly fast.
Oh, yeah. And do you know why?
Why so?
Because they don't care. They will breed. A mother and the newborn mm-hmm. will breed a father and a sister, a brother and a sister. I mean, it's kind of incest city when it comes to rats.
So, and as humans, we can't help but be disgusted by that aspect of ratdom as well.
Yeah. So that gives them many more breeding opportunities.
And they can live just about anywhere. I mean, aside from the whole nearly every continent, they can live in cold climates. They can live in hot climates.
Yeah.
They can live in your basement. They can live in your attic. They can live in the most disgusting of circumstances, and they're totally cool with it. They're like, hey, I know it's horrible in here, but we're going to all breed with each other anyway and eat everything we can.
Well, and not only just eat everything we can, but sometimes mothers will eat their young as well. So there's infanticide there.
Right. But as we've discussed in a previous podcast, we can't judge that too harshly. Because on a purely economy of energy level, it just makes sense.
Well, and it's not like the mother rat's just sitting around going, nom, 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 give me my young. It's usually a case where there's some sort of situation that is extraordinary and that, you know, some sort of food source is not available.
Right.
So she looks to her young.
It's kind of like the rat equivalent of, ooh, I'm not going to drink all this water. I'm going to pour it out in the plant, kind of a thing. You know, it's just it's sensible a decision as that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the rat has a huge stigma for being a plague carrier. The idea that these things are not only living amongst us, but they are carrying diseases that could wipe out whole cities. The rat becomes this dire symbol of plague out of the Middle Ages. It's an image it has never quite been able to shed.
Well, and people would look to the rat to try to ascertain, you know, what the disease was doing. Because mm-hmm. if a large population of rats were dying out, that was usually a precursor to a plague coming and rolling down the street, right?
Right.
But it turns out that the rats were actually in concert, if you can say that, with fleas.
Yes.
It was really the fleas that were carrying this and reinfecting the rats, which would then bring the plague to the
people. Yeah, the rat was really just a middleman in this whole plague business.
So. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. Fleas kind of got away scot free here with the old infesting of people's houses and streets and all that good stuff.
But you can imagine this medieval German townsman looking into this, looking under the floorboards, prying mm-hmm. them open. Rats are scurrying back, and he sees a rat king down there. He sees. Say, I don't know, 8, say 10, say 32 rats mm-hmm. with their tails just intertwined into this vast tangled knot of just grossness. And imagine him seeing that and knowing even then that what this might mean, you can imagine that being just such a dire omen because it would mean you were living in pretty close confines with a lot of rats.
Right. Well, and that cluster of rats could perhaps contain its own bubonic plague, right?
Right.
I mean, that would be the fear, especially if that was the story that was told you over and over growing up, particularly in Germany, where apparently, some people have said that a lot of these rat kings have been found. And again, just to go back to this, we are talking about a mass of rats entangled together, bound by blood, fecal matter, and other filth.
Yeah, but of course, aren't we all? But yes, the...
Not today. I took a shower.
Well, I mean, on a figurative level, you know. But the Rattenkönig, the rat king, it's been a really enduring image in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You see it when you try... We'll get into sort of the possibilities of it existing in real life and some of the arguments for and against in a second. But
right.
But just the idea of the Rat King. A, again, I like to think of it as an exaggeration of our attitudes towards rats. B, there have been some arguments that rat catchers, because you have a rat problem in the city, you, of course, have a booming industry of rat mm-hmm. catching, and that's something that existed for a long while. It still exists in the form of pet control, but they tend not to call themselves rat catchers.
Yeah, but that kind of pestilence, thankfully, is not as widespread as it used to be.
Right.
So, yeah.
But you would have rat catchers that would catch a bunch of rats, and sometimes they would apparently tie their tails together mm-hmm. as an easy way to bring them in, because you'd have kind of like a rat bounty. Like, bring us 8 rats, get $8. And they're like, all right, well, I forgot my rat sack today. What am I going to do? I better string all their tails together and bring them in a big grotesque heap. So there's that. And then you have all these ideas too, very folklore ideas of the rats having some form of king or having some form of mm-hmm. queen. And in some of these models of the king, the rat king either is this tangle of rats or it sets upon a tangle of rat tails. And, of course, people have loved that image, too, just in terms of using that model to apply to perceptions of crooked human rulers. Martin Luther called the Pope a lot of things. And one of the things that he called the Pope in one of his many diatribes was a rat king, a Rattenkönig.
That's right, sitting on the backs of his subjects, basically being well-fed. So this, again, yeah, there's this image of this rat king sort of controlling this swarm. And profiting from it, really.
Right. And even our beloved Nutcracker ballet, right?
Yeah. By some.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rat King shows up there.
Yeah. And now in the versions that I had to sit through year after year as a child, because my sisters were all in ballet, the rat never had more than one head. But apparently, right. If you go back to some of the older writings of the tale, he'll have more than one head, calling back to this idea of the true Rat King.
I'm going to say that some producers sat down and said, you know what, this is a great folk tale, but uh-huh. maybe we should just have one head because we really want to sell some tickets to this, and this is just way too nightmarish for all the kids. They're like, here's a four-headed Rat King dancing around.
I put it to anyone out there who's involved in the ballet industry. Is it an industry, would you say?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Big industry.
Yeah, the Nutcracker is one of those things you haul out every year because it's a guaranteed moneymaker.
Right.
And I think there is a tendency to maybe get lazy with the Nutcracker suite. So the next time somebody's staging a performance, I say do an old school Rat King, get 8 male dancers out there, tie them together, mm-hmm. and have them dance throughout the play, or at least throughout the first act before all the candy shows up.
I like this idea of doing this kind of macabre Nutcracker.
Yeah.
Actually, they should do it for adults.
Yeah.
And it should be a puppet show.
I like it.
Okay,
like
we
it.
Just made it. All right.
All right, so those are some of the ideas about the Rat King as folktale. We should probably take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some of these alleged examples of real Rat Kings and what we can say about their legitimacy. And also, we'll go to the microbial level and examine some rather tiny Rat Kings, so stick with us. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Rat Kings.
Rat Kings. The earliest report comes from Germany in 1564, right?
Yes.
So these sightings have been around for a while, but a credible sighting of a live Rat King has never really been confirmed.
Right. I mean, we have some stories here and there. There was a really neat one out of Estonia. This was the Rat King of Saru. Mm-hmm. I like the references to the Rat Kings as the Rat King of, as if they actually had some sort of leadership
dominion
role
over. Yeah.
This was really cool, and we were reading an article about from one Andre Milijutin. This was January 16, 2005. You have this just sort of your average Estonian, and he allegedly finds a Rat King on the floor of his shed.
Mm-hmm.
The animals are tied there; they're unable to escape. So the farmer's son comes in with a stick and kills it.
Right.
Kills them. You know, depends how you want to frame that. But so apparently this cluster contains 16 rats, and their tails were knotted together in this lump that contained frozen sand. There had recently been like a cold snap. And at the time that they were discovered, only 9 of the rats were alive. Three of the rats ended up falling off. The interesting thing about this story is that the guy didn't immediately call the newspaper. He thought
That's
it was
right.
weird.
Yeah.
He put it on a board and was like, "Hey, fellow Estonian villagers, come check out this grotesque thing I found. I'm going to leave it on the front porch for a little bit. Come by and gawk at it." And people came and gawked at it. But then the zoologist found out about it, right?
Wasn't it like a cousin or something? A reporter found out about it and hooked up a zoologist.
Yeah, so the next thing you know, the zoologist come from the museum at the University of Tartu. And this is a natural history zoological museum. And they come and collect it, preserve it now in alcohol, and you can still apparently go and see this Rat King.
Although, if I understand it right, some of them are missing because other critters have come along and broken off a piece.
Yeah, I think 3 of them were missing.
Yeah.
And all of them were kind of in very, like some of them have their brains eaten out, that kind
yeah.
of thing, you know, which is going to happen with a Rat King. It's just
you have to offer it up.
Yeah. And there were some other examples that he cited in this, Andre cited in this article of Estonian Rat Kings. There was one in 1971. The one in 1971 only consisted of 3 live rats, allegedly. So that's
pretty Rat King
like. Barely a Rat King.
Yeah.
Like if you were to bring that to a party, you would get some looks. And then there was another one between 1915 and 1920 that was supposedly more robust. And the interesting thing about so many of these accounts is, like, we were talking about the folklore aspect of it. And the initially, you can't help but think cryptozoology. You can't help but call BS on this.
Right.
Because it's so fantastic and so tied in with myths and again, our exaggerations of our fears. It is essentially a monster of fantasy, or so it seems. But then you look at these accounts and the guys who are really into studying rat kings, and granted, there are not that many people who are into empirically studying rat kings, they tend to make some arguments for how this could actually happen.
Yeah, you can tell that they're really wishing that this were, they could say definitively, rat kings exist.
Yeah.
Right? There's some sort of hope there in trying to explain it. But at the same time, they will look at the unlikeliness that these conditions would actually exist for a rat king swarm, I guess you could say,
right,
to create itself.
Yeah, like first thing, let's go ahead and say it. Like the most obvious thing was somebody faked a rat king.
Yeah, right.
All you have to do is get a bunch of dead rats, which is not hard.
Especially, if you're a rat catcher.
Right, if you're a rat catcher, easy to get. I mean, we could build a rat king today if we needed to. We could find them. We have a public transportation system. Yeah.
I mean, seriously?
Seriously.
After the podcast?
Yeah, after the podcast.
Okay.
We should do it.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm in.
Okay. But, yeah, you just get a bunch of rats, dead ones, tie their tails together, you're good to go.
Yeah.
As it turns out, you can't actually, and apparently some people have tried this, you can't tie rats' tails together while they're conscious. You would have to... you would have to put them under with something,
right,
which creates a whole lot more work. Easier to just say you beat them to death with a broomstick.
Well, and that just feels really serial killer-ish.
Yeah.
Because then you're like some sort of crazed rat serial killer.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough that you're tying a bunch of dead rats together, at least have them be dead rats. So,
right,
so that's obviously one huge possibility, is that these are fabrications. This kind of thing happens all the time with any number of things. The Fiji mermaid being a classic example of this, right?
Right, yeah. Fiji mermaid, we talked about this in a previous podcast. The Fiji mermaid is made up of all sorts of different animals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part fish, you know, I believe there's some bird parts in there as well.
Yeah, some monkey.
Yeah, some monkey skull. And it is a wonderful looking creature. I mean, you look at it and you think, God, I do wish that did exist, but unfortunately it did not.
They brought one to Atlanta's Fernbeck Museum a while back. Did you make it out to that exhibit?
I did not.
So they're like the fantasy creatures thing?
Didn't you see one too at just like some sort of roadside museum?
Oh, yeah. I think they had one in Abita Springs, Louisiana. There's an oddity museum that has a bunch of stuff like that. It's all assembled.
I remember getting the iPhone picture, and I was like,
They did. They definitely had a Fiji mermaid. They also had all sorts of weird crocodile fish contraptions that the owner had found.
Yeah.
The mystery house, the Abita Springs, mystery house. Okay, so moving along from the possibility that these are fake, what are some of the reasons this could actually happen, right?
You're right. Okay, so fear. Is
fear.
One reason that's brought up, or they say, you know, if you happen to come upon these swarm of rats, and they were essentially just sort of cornered, that they might, in fear, all begin to run the other way, and tangle up in each other, which seems kind of suspicious, right?
Right. Especially since a lot of these are found supposedly in burrows, places where they're going to feel safe anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why would they be panicking?
Exactly, exactly. Because when people found them, right, there was plenty of room where they were. It wasn't like they were just cornered. And again, there has never been an account of a live rat king. So nobody's actually been able to substantiate it and say, oh, yeah, I found it right here. I've got some video. Let's throw it up on YouTube.
Right. Another possibility, and this was one I ran across from the Natural History Museum in Altenburg, Germany, which actually has a mummified specimen of 32 entangled rats on display that it supposedly dates back to 1828. The argument they were going with is that rat pups are still very naked and their tails are very mobile, and so their tails are whipping around and they end up getting entangled that way, and then they can't leave and they starve. Again, that's kind of suspect too, whether that would actually happen or not.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Right, and then there's the frozen, this idea that, they could be sitting there in a very cold environment, huddling together, mm-hmm. and somehow
in their
become
own filth.
In their own filth, that's yeah. right. So we've got all sorts of mucus and blood and feces.
And just nesting materials there, too.
You know,
anyone who's ever seen a rat nest, we talk about that's a piece of our language, the idea of a rat's nest. It's just this random stuff. So there's all sorts of things in there that could conceivably form this goo-goo cluster of rat's tails,
right.
and then suddenly there's a cold snap, right?
Right, but then that cold snap would have to be like a freeze-dried cold snap, right?
Yeah.
Not something that usually happens gradually. Again, it doesn't really hold water. It doesn't really make sense that they would just be flash frozen, which I think brings us to the conclusion, and most people, that this is an animal of cryptozoology, really and truly.
Yeah, it's really hard not to side with that. I mean, the article we were reading, the guy made a really impassioned argument for this Estonian case because mm-hmm. he was like, this guy had no motive, he had no profit, he didn't attempt it to, like, it was falling apart out of the tangles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't trying to tighten everything back up and retie the Rat King.
He also didn't know about Rat Kings at all, folklore
right.
and otherwise.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be the first, like, you know, it's an awesome idea. Sometimes people, you know, we've all had that moment where we're like, dude, I just had this awesome idea. What if I tied a bunch of dead rats together?
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, you mean a rat king? And you're like, oh, that's already a thing? And they're like, yeah, it's kind of been a thing for centuries.
He's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, what was I to do on a slow day on the farm?
So, yeah, we tend to have to side with the whole cryptozoological angle. I mean, granted, if rat kings do exist, it's a rare, rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time we're not going to find it because these things are going to die right? Because they can't really hunt or forage for food in that condition, and they would rot or be eaten by their fellow rats or by other organisms. But still, from a science angle, we have to side with the idea that this is probably bunk.
But you, sir, you ferreted out the real Ramona, the real rat king.
That's right. I refuse to take no for an answer, even from science. When it comes to something as interesting as the rat king, I was like, I was thinking, surely there's something that is equatable to this, right? And sure enough, we do encounter something, a rat king-like effect with trematodes. Mm-hmm. These are small parasitic flatworms that use vertebrates as their definite host and mollusks as their intermediate host, all right?
We're talking about mollusks and birds.
Right. So
ducks.
So, yeah, they go through several different phases, several different forms. And the form that goes through typically like a bird or a duck is a cercaria, okay? And these are larval forms. And they have different ways of entering a species.
Mm-hmm.
Some use their little tails to swim, for lack of a better phrase, up into the duck.
Mm-hmm.
And then others have actually evolved to have elongated tails so they can look like a prey. It's like kind of a fishing lure effect. You know,
mm-hmm.
Imagine one of those lures with the long, wriggly tails. The bird sees it, it eats it, and oops, you just ate a parasite. It needs you to advance out of this form.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some of these cercaria that have these long tails, and they will actually intertwine with each other and form not something that not only looks kind of like a rat king, but biologists actually call it a Rattenkönig cercaria.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting why they do this. The primary reason being it's the same reason that that some of the cercaria have the extra long tails to attract the bird and make it think that it's something good to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So if one is trying to pull this out and trying to get a lot of attention, better that a bunch of them cluster together, right?
Right.
Intertwine those little tails. And then they also use it for increased mobility, which is rather interesting.
That's right. They also can conserve some of their energy if they all work together.
Right.
And I really like this idea of this Trojan horse sort of situation, you know, where it's like, oh, come here, ducky. I have a delicious surprise for you. And then unleashing all of these parasites upon the duck.
Yeah, this occurs across five different trematode superfamilies, and the members of this rat king, they rotate in the same direction, generating a current that moves a batch of up to 700 cercaria efficiently. So there you have
700.
It. 700 strong, this particular trematode rat king. So I just find that fascinating. They're little yoked tails.
I know. I'm telling you, it's kind of frightening to think that parasites are just so clever.
Yeah.
At you know, that they could cloak themselves and be like, yeah, look, I am delicious.
Yeah. And of course, I can't help but then apply that model to rats and say, like, well, all right, well, was there any reason that rats could conceivably evolve any kind of similar function? If not now, then eventually. But I don't think it really makes sense because, A, they're not parasites. B, there's no increased mobility or energy conservation in forming one of these clusters.
Right.
Because it seems like it's just a chaotic affair if rats were to form into a rat king.
Well, I'm also thinking, too, that it would really inhibit their ability to squeeze themselves through sewer pipes up through your toilet, which, by the way, they do because they follow the scent of fecal matter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can, but wouldn't that be horrifying to open your toilet bowl and see a rat king?
Yeah.
I mean, that really is the stuff of nightmares right there.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're rooming with people and you're like, come on, who left the rat king in the toilet?
Oh, I have so many digestive jokes.
That's definitely
right there.
A flush it down situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, rat kings, there you go. I hope everyone leaves this podcast with a little more information about them. You know, maybe you've only heard about them in a Terry Pratchett book or a reference on 30 Rock. But I dare say we went into unprecedented detail about the rat king.
And, you know, the door is still open. Maybe they exist, but most likely not.
I'm going to keep my mind open a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Bigfoot. I tend to doubt it, but Maybe. Maybe one day.
In the meantime, we have our microbial ones.
All right. Well, hey, let's call over the robot and see if we have any listener mail. All right. We just heard from Lizzie, and Lizzie writes in and says, "Hey, Robert and Julie, I was listening to your podcast today about hugging, and I was a little bit surprised you didn't mention the hug shirt. I was at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago back in August and saw this shirt on display. Being a new transplant to Chicago and living over 1,000 miles from my loved ones, I just thought about how nice it would be to have a hug from someone I missed. You send the hugs to a recipient wearing their hug shirt by cell phone. It has somewhere between 14 and 15 sensors all over the upper body to simulate a real hug. I thought it was really neat, and I was positive you were going to mention it on the podcast, and surprised that you didn't." And she includes a video. Ironically, there's a House Stuff Horse video about this.
But
you know, sometimes the awesome stuff falls through the cracks, and that's when we depend on awesome folks to let us know about it. I can't help but be reminded of the, in reading this, the idea of sending a hug digitally, like pushing a button, and then someone gets a hug, you know, miles and miles away or on the other side of a globe, of the this Japanese device that allows one to send a kiss over the internet. And not just like the kind of smooch you would give a child, but like a big tonguey kiss, like a full-blown French kiss.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you put some sort of mouthpiece on?
Yeah, it's like a mouthpiece. It looks like something the dentist would put in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Sounding sexy already.
Yeah, and there's like an apparatus. It's kind of like a, I guess it looks kind of like, imagine a joystick for a video game that you stick inside your mouth and play with your tongue. And that's about what this consists of.
Wow, this podcast really is the stuff of nightmares right now.
It is.
Rat kings and joysticks. Yeah. But no, I think the hug shirt is pretty wonderful.
It is, yeah.
And I was thinking about how it's far less creepy than the other hug mechanism we were talking about, in which it kind of looks like a mannequin that you suction cup yourself with, with a vest that you wear. And it just sort of looks like the person's molesting the mannequin. But I really love the idea of having a hug shirt instead and having these pulses come through from someone you know.
Yeah,
it's just me being old-fashioned.
It's a much more old-fashioned and tamer version of other remote control stimulation devices. So I think it's great.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's love in the future right there.
Exactly. So, hey, if you have anything you would like to share about love in the future, about hugs, awkward or technological in nature, or about the mighty Rat King. Rat kings that you've known, rat kings that you've loved, rat kings that you've found under your floorboards and burned out of fear. Let us know. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are Below the Mind on both of those.
And you can send us an email at belowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join House Stuff Works staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.